You're about to enter into a new world of knowledge, curiosities, and high strangeness. This is a podcast of Straight Up Strange Productions.
You're listening to Mysteries and Monsters. I'm your host, Paul Bestel. Hello, and welcome back to Mysteries and Monsters. This week, I'm delighted to be joined by the effervescent Kitsy Duncan to discuss her book, I'd Rather Talk to Dead People. Many people will know Kitsy from her TV show, The Oddity Files, as well as with her podcasts, also The Oddity Files, Get Scared, and Miss Murder. Kitsy and I discuss the reasons behind her deciding to write her first book, why she decided to tackle her fear of the paranormal head-on, and some of her favourite haunted investigations, including Culbertson Mansion, the Fear Factory in Salt Lake City, the Old Lake County Jail, and of course, the infamous Bobby Mackey's. It was a real pleasure to have Kitsy join me this week, and I hope you enjoy our conversation. As always, you can support the show by signing up to Patreon for $4 a month for extra shows, bonus content, and prize draws. You can use the link in our show notes as always. Don't forget, you can find us across all social media platforms as well. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can subscribe to the channel if you prefer to consume your podcast via YouTube. As always, artwork for the show is by Dean Bestall. The show is produced by Brennan Storr from the Ghost Story Guys, and Mysteries and Monsters is delighted to be a part of the Straight Up Strange network. Okay, so let's join the multi-talented Kitsy Duncan and dive into some serious ghostly goings-on. Today on Mysteries and Monsters, I am delighted to be joined by the marvellous Kitsy Duncan. Kitsy is an actress, podcast host, TV host, and paranormal investigator who has just released her debut novel, I'd Rather Talk to Dead People. Kitsy, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me today.
Can you introduce me again? Because that sounded so sexy. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I try my best. Well, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited about this.
Yeah, well, as I said before we did the proper conversation, you're somebody I've been aware of for a couple of years, Kitsy, because I stumbled across your television investigation show, The Oddity Files, on Prime over here. And it's very interesting for me when I find a new type of paranormal show, because yours wasn't as, not far-fetched, but it seemed a bit more balanced than the usual paranormal show, Kitsy. So, obviously, The Oddity Files is you and your crew going out and checking things out. So, as someone with a recent development in the paranormal, was that something you intended when you set off?
Not really. It was just when I started into my little paranormal journey, which was in my 30s. I call myself a late bloomer. I'm sure that means something completely different over where you're at than it does here.
No, you're all right.
I just wanted to connect with the other side. I was sick of being scared of it, to be perfectly honest. I wanted to know if my fears were warranted or if the movie Poltergeist was completely off base and far-fetched. And you know what? It was. People don't die hunting ghosts, and they don't get maimed or, you know, get sucked up into the TV. So, and then I was hooked. I went on my first investigation, and it was, I walked in the doors, and this sounds so silly, but I was so nervous for, you know, weeks heading up to it. And I walked in the doors, and I was just like, this feels good. This does, I know there's something here, you know, I mean, it's notoriously haunted, but I don't feel like running out the door. I kind of feel at home here.
I mean, as you say in your introduction to the book, you basically lived most of your life in fear of the paranormal, maybe primarily down to what Poltergeist taught most of us in the 1980s. I'm with you there. It put me off clowns for quite a while, Kitsy, I have to be honest. And I wasn't very comfortable.
Clowns don't bother me. It was the ghost. Yes. But now here I am. I'm like, I want to see chairs stacked on top of each other, yes, just like in the movie, and haven't run into it yet. So
yeah, absolutely. I'm always looking for that haunted house where you can place small children on the floor to watch them slide across as well, which we don't.
No, that's the best thing in the world.
Yeah. Always makes me chuckle when I always remember where they put the American football helmets on and just send us sliding, mm-hmm, across the floor. I mean, I must admit, Poltergeist, I had very supportive parents as a child, Kitsy, so they would often get the latest scary movie out and leave it on top of the mantelpiece on a Sunday morning for me to come down and watch. And Poltergeist, uh-huh, I watched in the daytime, and it terrified me. I think I was 11 when I saw Poltergeist. And it really,
yeah,
did.
What year did it come out?
82.
I was 12, so yeah, we're very close in age.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there or thereabouts.
Mom and Dad took us to the drive-in here, which it was dark, and I had to go home in the dark and sleep in the dark, and I saw stuff. Was it real? Absolutely not. But I saw some weird stuff that night.
So, as you say, you were a late bloomer in regards to getting into the paranormal, Kitsy, and I know you wanted to do this because you'd lost your father suddenly. Was it that kind of led you into it for a search for answers or for your own peace of mind?
A little bit of both. Mm. So when my dad passed away, he was only 53. And here I am, you know, almost 51. It gets scarier every year I get older. But there were no goodbyes. There was no closure. It happened suddenly. And it hurt. You know, I mean, the whole family was torn apart by it. But as time went on, I started to feel like he was with me. And I'm like, okay, am I absolutely insane? Or is this really a thing? Or am I, you know, is it time for the loony bin? So I was terrified of all the ghost shows that were on cable here at the time. I'm like, I'm not. My friends are like, no, you got to check it out. It's totally awesome. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, those things are terrifying. So the Kling brothers had just come out with their Ghost Lab show, and yes, the commercials were everywhere. And I'm like, oh, these guys just yell at the ghosts. So that could be a thing. Maybe I should watch a little more. And I did. And I'm like, well, nobody's dying. Nobody's, you know, losing an arm. And there's a lot of lights blinking, but that's about it. So I'm like, okay. So I binged every paranormal show I could come across. Thank God for Netflix. I don't even think Hulu was along at the time. And it was entertaining, one. And two, again, nobody was dying. Everything I was scared of happening, looking into the paranormal, wasn't even a thing. So my interest was even more piqued, to be perfectly honest. And I had some friends that had a paranormal group they invited me along on, and that's where I get to. I walked in and I felt home, and the rest has been a complete and utter obsession with the paranormal.
Yeah, I have to say, when I started reading your book and you're doing the introduction, I laughed out loud at the bit where you were talking about you and your friend doing the Ouija board. Primarily because I had this picture of you trying to run it over, because I know you were working on the principle as one of those wonderful urban myths that stalks the paranormal, Kitsy, that of course all Ouija boards are fireproof. You can't burn them.
Yeah.
So you decided that the best thing to do was to run it over.
Yeah, yeah. We're like, well, the board we didn't, but the planchette, I'm like, this is just a little piece of plastic. Maybe if I run it over and squash it, it'll, you know, make this voice I think I'm hearing in my bedroom stop. But those things are fierce. You can't even run them over with a little hatchback from the 80s and squash them. So we just threw it in the garbage can in the alley and hoped for the best.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very unusual way of trying to deal with it, because I know that you and your friend had a little bit of a spirit board session, and had you been woken up the following morning by a strange disembodied voice?
Yeah, and it literally was the most cliche thing any ghost could say. I heard loud and gruff in my ear, "Get out." And I'm like, oh, this isn't good. So that's when we went on our little adventure a couple blocks away. And then, you know, we ran over and I just kind of forgot about it. Mm. So now I know how to close a session.
Yeah. Well, yeah, as someone that that indulged in I don't know, a couple of hundred spirit board sessions as a teenager and a young man, Kitsy, I heard every rumor and urban myth about what you should and shouldn't do and how to close things down, and you know, oh, if the glass, you've got to smash the glass, and you've got to bless
it. Oh, snap. I didn't know that was a thing. You guys in your glasses on your talk boards. I tell you what, that most haunted, so entertaining. The spirit board always works for her. She is magic.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, we always had a thing about breaking glasses. I don't know what it is. I think it's just a propensity for the sound of smashing glass in the UK. But we always used to show off and create ours on mirrors and things like that, Kitsy. So we were just pushing the envelope as
fancy.
Much as it. Well, either that or unstable, one or the other.
Wow, I love both.
Well, thank you very much. So when you went on your first investigation and you felt that kind of connection with it all, Kitsy, where did you decide to create your own crew? Because I know you had a couple of people with you, had your son working with you alongside a colleague. Was that something that you envisaged through your experience of working in film, or did you just think, well, let's just film everything and see what works?
Yeah, so that very first investigation I went on, I found one of those fancy cameras that films in the dark, and my husband and I had a filmmaking company where at the time we were doing commercials for haunted attractions, which are not even the same thing as a haunted building, but you know what I'm talking about. And so I put something together, and I was throwing every investigation I had gone on up on YouTube at the time. And our crew kept growing because, you know, if you're an investigator, every friend you've ever met wants to go on an investigation with you. Mm. And it gets to be a lot really, really quick. So Clayton had come to me. He's a friend of the family. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what if we kind of narrowed things down and it was just me and you and a cameraman? And he suggested the cameraman be my son, Carter. Mm-hmm. And maybe things won't be as hectic or stressful. And we wanted to get evidence that other people weren't, you know, I mean, that's every investigator's dream. So I was willing to give it a shot. And the very first location we went to with just the three of us, my husband was along, but he tends to sleep on investigations. God love him. And it was his last investigation. But we together got more evidence in one night than I had previously been getting on like five investigations in, you know, where we had everybody along with us. So we thought we had something. I don't know if it was our energies together. I don't know if it was, you know, the equipment that we had gotten at that point or what it was, but we were fortunate enough to connect with one spirit at this location from the moment we started investigating till she's still with me now. So, I mean, I'd say that's a good investigation.
Yeah. I know that you touch on in your book, Kitsy, that you'd been on a couple previous and to be fair, you weren't overly impressed. I think there was one bit where, you know, you get the usual, oh, I've seen something, and somebody goes, oh, I've been scratched, and that type of thing. So, like I say, when I've watched the program, I've been pleasantly surprised that it is very balanced and there doesn't seem to be any of these histrionics that we often get.
No. You know, I have a lot of belief systems since I've been investigating. Mm. I believe that when people walk out of a room and walk back in with a scratch, they did it themselves. Mm. I believe if they think they've been pushed down the stairs, they lost their balance on the stairs and they're feeling stupid, so they blame it on a ghost. Mm. That, you know, I've never witnessed any major harm by a spirit. And I've been doing this, I guess 12 years is a long time. Maybe it's 13 at this point. I don't know. Lucky 13. Let's go with that. Mm. But I really, my learning through this entire journey is they're not out to hurt you. They're just trying to communicate. And okay, let's say somebody really did get scratched by a spirit. Let's say, you know, you have it documented. They were there the whole time. All of a sudden, you're watching their hands. They didn't sneak in a scratch when you weren't looking. And they just show, I believe that's a spirit. Maybe it's reaching out and it's like, oh, dang, I just did that a little hard. So sorry.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, what I find interesting as well, and this is something I've mentioned with a couple of people from the world of the paranormal, Kitsy, is my personal experience and everything I've read, ghosts are, and hauntings in general, are usually very mundane. Things move about a bit. Occasionally you might hear some footsteps. Furniture gets moved about. Things disappear and reappear. And it only seems to be over the last 20 years that all of a sudden, especially in America, there seems to be demons everywhere, which I'm not really
sure. Because Americans are overdramatic. Sorry. Did I say that out loud? So sorry.
So it's, as someone like yourself, though I was aware growing up that my house was haunted, whereas I think you weren't really sure about until you were told that your house was haunted. It's something I've kind of grown up with and got used to, and so I'm often surprised when I hear about these violent hauntings and terrifying places that people live, and you've got to get out, otherwise, you know, you're going to be possessed and kill all your family, that type of thing that seems to occur. So it is very refreshing, once again, in your book, I know you point out that you've never met any demons, but you've certainly come across plenty of ghosts over the years.
Yes, I believe that if you're an asshole in life, you're going to be an asshole in death. I mean, why would you just have a quick personality, angelic personality now that you're dead? It's not going to happen that way. I think the media has made people terrified of spirits. And in turn, everybody thinks it's a demon because of what they've been fed through books and movies and television throughout the years. And I mean, I get it. I really do. And if you don't get me wrong, I love Ed and Lorraine Warren, and I love everything they did for the paranormal world. The reason they thought, this is my theory, I don't know if I'm wrong, you let me know.
Okay.
I think they thought everything was a demon because they weren't in heaven as an angel. And being devout Catholics, they assumed that if you're not in heaven and an angel, you are a demon. And that they were the most publicized paranormal investigators ever at that point. So they're feeding that information to the world. And I'm not judging them for their beliefs in any way, shape, or form. I'm really, truly not. But I think a lot of us were fed wrong information.
It is, like I say, it is very strange because it's certainly something that doesn't occur over here in the UK. I have noticed a few people over the last sort of 5 years or so, Kitsy, try and use the demon storyline in a lot of haunted places. But in general, it tends to be rather, our ghosts are rather boring here, I think. Probably because they've been around
for
so long.
They are here too. But, they really are.
So for you going forwards, like I say, when you're looking into where to go, and when you were doing your investigations on the Oddity Files, was it a case of you created a hit list once you got this paranormal bug, Kitsy, or did you just basically start local and work your way out?
Absolutely. I started local and worked my way out. Fortunately, before, you know, this awful virus, which that may be the only demon out there. I'm just putting that theory out as well. But before this virus came along, we traveled a lot for our day job. And Carter and Clayton and I all worked together. So if we were at a place that we could afford to stay an extra day after working that weekend, then I tried to find a location where we were. Like, fortunately, Clayton and I were able to investigate in Australia, which was absolutely amazing. And had I still been traveling to the UK for work, I have a place ready and waiting for me to investigate over there. But that's probably going to be a minute. Sophie, I'll come as soon as I can, I swear. But, you know, it was just kind of, hey, we're going to be here. But fortunately, being in the Midwest and specifically the Ohio Valley where I'm at, I have Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky, which is littered with haunted locations. Mm. And so it was fortunate that when we weren't traveling for work, we had pretty much our pick of anything down here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always intrigued because one of the things I've heard you mention, and to be honest, it was something I've always interested in seeing or hearing about Kitsy, is Bobby Mackey's. Now, Bobby Mackey's has certainly developed a reputation, some may say notorious, because I think on every major paranormal investigation show in the last 10 years, everybody's been to Bobby Mackey's.
Yes.
And there seems to be two different strands to this. There seems to be this, it's the most terrifying place in the world, be careful what you do. And then there's the other one where it's haunted, but it's not that bad. Now, I know that when you went there, you had a variety of experiences that you and your team saw and experienced, and some of the evidence that you witnessed was quite remarkable.
It really was. I mean, there's so much legend and lore to the place, from the demons in the basement to the Native American woman to the lady who killed herself there. And I didn't encounter a single one of those stories. And we, again, just like Culbertson Mansion, like I was telling you about earlier, from the moment we walked in that location to this day, I am still fortunate enough to be hanging out with the spirit that I met at Bobby Mackey's. So it was the first legit apparition we caught on camera, and she confessed to murder. She showed me a dire situation that she had gone through by putting one of her memories in my head. That doesn't happen to me very often. Very rarely does it. Maybe three times in the whole time I've been doing this. But it's always women in distress when they show me one of their memories. I mean, I don't claim to be a medium or psychic. I claim to connect with these spirits. And sometimes these spirits connect with me so much that I can see these memories that they're trying to show me. And then when the evidence, because I can't prove that I just saw this weird thing going on in my head, but when the evidence comes back and our odd box says exactly what I just saw in my head, that it's got to be something.
I mean, it is very interesting as well, because like I say, the thing with Bobby Mackey's, I think it's one of those, if you're into the paranormal, I don't know how much you kind of have a preconceived idea about what to expect there, Kitsy. It's almost as if it's so well known, as you say, don't go in the basement on your own, those type of things. It's almost as if anybody that goes there, it's very difficult not to sort of go down the well-worn paths that people already are fully aware of, Kitsy. So when you went there, were you surprised that you didn't get the, you know, as some people may say, the normal tour of Bobby Mackey's? You had a rather different experience that I would imagine was quite surprising in the scheme of things.
It wasn't, though. I do have this. I stand by it, and people probably hate me for it, but I don't think demons are out there hanging out in a honky-tonk in Wilder, Kentucky.
Yeah.
I don't think they're in a silo in Salt Lake City, Utah. Mm. I mean, if there are demons that are able to walk the earth, why would they mess around with that kind of stuff? There are so much, like, I'd be at the White House, or I'd be at the Buckingham Palace. You know, go to the big guns. Don't mess around with some little honky-tonk in Kentucky. Yeah. I wasn't surprised. Was I nervous going into the basement? Yeah. Mm. Only because I'm like, what if I'm wrong? Yes. What if I can die by demon? Shit, you know? But yeah. I mean, that's just my social anxiety kicked in for a second. But I went in blindfolded because I didn't want any of the every paranormal show I saw down in that basement. I didn't want that affecting my psyche as I walked in. I try so hard to know the stories of these locations, but to hear them, to listen to them, and then still go into each location with zero preconceived notions.
Yeah. It is a very strange situation, Bobby Mackey's, because, you know, I've seen several interviews and it was almost as if Bobby himself just didn't seem to think, because I know I've seen him interview before and he thought everybody was pulling his leg for years. And he seemed to be complete. I wouldn't say he was ambivalent to it all, Kitsy. It was almost as if it wasn't anything that either wanted to interact or affect him. It seemed to just go after everybody else, because every time I've seen people being interviewed, all the staff have had experiences. I think Bobby's wife had a couple of numerous issues when she had some rather worrying encounters or experiences in there. Do you think that's quite a surprising aspect of this venue? Because it is unusual, like you say, it's a bar and entertainment venue. It's not in a particularly historical location. There's no real major tragedies in the area. I know there are some, you know, murders and obviously it's got a bit of a reputation for being a bit of a speakeasy, I think, in the past, and having some kind of interesting clientele, I think we can say. I just found it, like you say, it's very odd that this place has built this reputation when at the end of the day it's just a bar.
Right. You got a lot of attention seekers out there that, I don't want to discount poor Carl. I really don't. Carl was the maintenance man when all this stuff was supposed to be going down, and he claimed to have been possessed by demons. I, in my heart of hearts, know, and I believe any investigator who takes this seriously, most demonic possession is either mental illness or a cry for attention. I mean, am I wrong?
Yeah. I mean, it's a slippery slope as well. And I think one of the issues you have is that, especially these days, it's very easy, and we see this across all fields in the Fortean realm, Kitsy, be it ufology, cryptozoology, the paranormal, and especially with things like YouTube and podcasts, there are some incredible claims that are made and very interesting evidence put forward to prove that certain things are convincing us that these are real events and whatever. And I think it's sometimes too easy to just jump in with both feet and go, oh, well, this must be true. This person's telling me what's happened. It has to be real. Whereas surely on an investigation, the word itself means that you should look at all potential avenues and look into every claim and the evidence that's put forward, Kitsy, because otherwise you're not investigating something, you're promoting it.
Right. And that's what happened with Bobby Mackey's. Thank you. Mic drop.
I mean, like I say, it would have been very easy for you guys to go there and just tick off all the boxes of what's supposed to happen. So, like I say, I found it very refreshing that didn't happen. Would you say the team were surprised that it seemed as calm as it was? Because it obviously isn't as frenetic as some other investigations have claimed.
I wasn't surprised. I think Clayton was a little bit. Clayton had told me for years and years and years, I will not go to Bobby Mackey's. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's your wishes. I understand that. But the one day he came to me and said, you know what? I think I'd like to go to Bobby Mackey's. I booked it before he could back out. So I had been dying to get in there and go in with my unbiased opinion of the place and see what comes out. Now, had something terrible happened in that basement, would I have played it off like nothing happened? No. I mean, that would have made a great TV show if I got scratched by a demon or possessed. I would have let it ride out. You know what I'm saying? But it didn't happen. The scariest thing that happened in that basement was the compressor went off in the room we were standing in. It was hilarious. So I don't make shit up. That's just who I am. I'm not going to tell you something that's not there. When I say I just heard a little girl I really mean it. Do I sound crazy when I say that and the rest of my crew didn't hear it? Absolutely. But then again, the evidence comes back and that little girl comes over our odd box telling us her name is Sarah, where I heard the little girl say Sarah 15 minutes earlier. I've got to kind of play into that. And when I walked in the doors of Bobby Mackey's, I felt nothing, even malevolent in there, even something that until I was shown that memory by the spirit I call Abby now. She showed me that she was raped in that bathroom that if you go back to Ghost Adventures days, the one that Nick Groff went running out of, there's bad energy in there. There absolutely is. Now, maybe it was tacos from the guy the night before. I'm not sure, but something bad went down in there and she showed it to me so I would understand, because I walked in there and I'm like, I don't like this room. I don't like it all. It was clean. It didn't smell bad. Because usually you walk into the men's room, especially in America, it gets a little iffy.
yes.
Yeah. And I didn't understand why. I said, Clayton, I can't stand in that bathroom. There's something just off. And then he's like, just go in for like a whole minute. So I walked in my head. I'm counting one, two. And then this memory flashed in my head. And I'm like, that did not just happen. What is going on here? And yeah, so the memory I got from this sweet, wonderful woman, Abby, was her bird's eye view of being raped in that bathroom. So, and then she confessed to murdering that man there.
It is very interesting, Kitsy. Would you say, as you said, you're not psychic, you don't claim to be a medium. Would you say that you are sensitive more than anything else? Because I get that sensation sometimes where I go to places, be they haunted or not, and I get a gut feeling, I get an emotional reaction, whereas most people seem fine. Don't worry about it, you know, whether it's a bathroom or a bar or an office or wherever. And then occasionally I'll go places and I can feel the hairs on the back of my neck stand up and my arms, and I just don't feel comfortable. Is that something where that kind of, when that occurs for you, it's basically, you know, that there's something coming?
Yes, absolutely. I would consider myself an empath, because even in, you know, real life situations with people whose hearts are still beating and they're standing in front of me, I get a sense for their mood before they even tell me what their mood is, you know? And I think a lot of people are that way. They just, and the more I tap into it, the more it opens up for me, which has kind of been a neat little learning experience, little bonus to this entire thing.
Absolutely. I mean, is it something that you've worked on developing, Kitsy? Because I know, obviously, from where you are now in regards to investigations, from where you started, you've obviously developed a kit that you use. I know you use dowsing rods occasionally, as we would call them here in the UK, as well as, and I know you've mentioned the odd box. But is there any other sort of, because as we see across a variety of shows, there are numerous bits of kit that people use. But what is there anything that you always would pack into your investigation kit?
I have boxes and boxes of investigative. It's ridiculous. When I said I was obsessed, I wasn't kidding. And unfortunately, my husband feeds my obsession at Christmas and holidays. So, yes, I always, the odd box is an amplifier that I hook up to a spirit box. So the spirit box and even the apps, the spirit box apps that are out there. One of my favorites is the Portal Plus app. And what that is pre-recorded voices. It's three different voices. It's a child, it's a man, and a woman. And what this app does is take the things that were recorded and said, reverse them so they sound like an old school record when you played it backwards, like the old Prince Purple Rain album, or I think the Beatles did a couple. Yes. I think something about a walrus and Paul was dead or something. But so we have heard absolutely everything that app can say over the 5 years we've been using it. But when all of a sudden you're in a place known for being a hospital back in the days of the Confederate War, and you ask how many soldiers are here with us, and it says 6 plus an officer, that's pretty compelling. Because we know for a fact that that app has never said that. So what these, I think these spirits are getting pretty smart, to be perfectly honest. They're able to take these pre-recorded words. They don't change the voices. The voices are always the same. But they're able to make it say what they want to. It's freaking mind-blowing to me. I'm not even sure if I answered your question. I got off on a tangent there. I'm sorry. Oh, my favorite go-tos. So yeah, Spirit Box and these apps are absolutely amazing. I feel like I've grown out of the K2 meter. I feel like cell phones and all the tablets you need nowadays, it isn't as spot on as it used to be. And I feel like there's electromagnetic fields all around us at all the times. So I don't trust that one anymore. The REM pod has never worked for us. We joke with the ghosts that it's broken, and they've confirmed that it's a piece of garbage. And I do love a good old fashioned flashlight session.
Yes.
So fun. But dowsing rods are my jam, too. I mean, I love to pull in the old school. And I wish I could get better with a pendulum. Because, especially over there, I mean, these ghosts know all that old stuff. Maybe they don't want to mess with the SLS and show themselves as a stick figure. I wouldn't blame them. But you pull out a dowsing rod, they're comfortable with that because they've been communicating with that for eons, literal eons.
Absolutely, yeah, certainly. Especially if it's a haunted property on a ley line, you're well away.
Yeah.
One of the aspects of the book that I was very interested in is another place whose reputation certainly precedes it, primarily because it's in Kentucky, and as a lover of Jack Daniels, I always have an interest in Kentucky. And it's
love the way you say Kentucky.
Thank
Sorry,
you.
Go ahead.
It's okay. The Harrodsburg Herald. Now, this place has a reputation for having extremely violent spirits, Kitsy. So, once again, is it that kind of place where you go in there with some trepidation in regards to the potential, or do you go in there thinking, yeah, well, I've heard it all before, I'm just going to see what I think?
I'm going to be perfectly honest with you on this one. I wanted to be thrown across the room because that's what the story was.
Yeah,
an investigator was thrown across the room. I'm like, that will make beautiful TV, people. Let's go. Did not happen. But it was known for being rude to female investigators, which I'm always, if that's the story, I'm like, bring it. Come on, buddy, because I'll give it right back. And he did. He tried. And I'm like, okay, you can call me a slut all you want. I don't even care. Did your wife cheat on you? Is that why you hate women? And he comes over and he goes, yep. And I got to the bottom of it that quick. That's my empath right there. That was one of the questions that just kind of popped in my head out of the way. I said, okay, well, first and foremost, not all women are your wife. And I asked him, I said, what was your wife's name? And immediately comes out Penny. And the rest of the night, he was hitting on me. I kid you not.
I mean, it is peculiar that it has this reputation as being so angry. So do you think that was the first time somebody had kind of stood up to this spirit, Kitsy, and kind of given it a piece of its your mind? Or do you think it was just some kind of bully that wasn't used to having anybody fight back?
Especially a woman. Yeah, I do think that was the case. And I mean, in my real life, I don't take shit from anybody. I'm like, come on, let's get to the bottom of this. Let's get it out of the way and move on. But I mean, I will say later on in the investigation, when I went by myself in this room known for throwing people around, he told me he didn't like the guy who ran the paranormal investigations there. So maybe he needed to back off a little bit. Maybe he was the one getting them amped up. I don't know. I never saw footage of the alleged investigator that was thrown around. I mean, yeah, they did come out with the slander remarks about myself, but I just wasn't having it. I really wasn't. And I don't know. I think people, like I said earlier, people go into these investigations with a preconceived notion. So when it happens, they're like, oh my God, now I'm scared. It's like, no, find out, like, if it's a real person, find out why they're like that. Mm. Maybe listen a little bit as opposed to just trying to get the evidence that everyone else has gotten. Boy, I sound like such a hippy dippy chick right now, but it's true.
It is, because there are a couple of investigators here in the UK. One of them primarily is renowned for doing some digging into certain cases, Kitsy. And often the truth bears no resemblance to the alleged haunting. There's a famous one where a member of a certain family is supposed to have been murdered on an illicit tryst with her lover. And her headless spirit is supposed to haunt this lane. Trouble is,
oh, that does sound like a magical story, though.
Yeah, but the problem is that the woman that it's supposed to be didn't die like that, and she lived till she was in her 80s and passed away comfortably at home, surrounded by her friends. Yeah, surrounded by her friends and family. Mm. But 200 years later, it's supposed to be her headless ghost that wanders this lane, scaring people. So that's always interesting when you come across an alleged haunting. And I would imagine you may have had this happen yourself, Kitsy, when you've been doing your investigations, where something is supposed to be the reason why a building or a location is haunted, and yet when you look into it, there's no evidence that anything happened that would cause it.
Right. No, absolutely. It happens all over the place. I'm not a historian. I will be perfectly honest. I barely passed history back in high school. But the evidence, the fact that the evidence that I get is so different than what the lore of these locations are, I mean, lends to the same fact. If I was a smart human being and was a historian, I'd probably find the same things, but I'm too ADHD for that stuff. I need a historian crew with me on some of these locations. But honestly, my thing is, I'm not there to film this beautiful, you know, recreation of what allegedly happened there back in the day. I'm there to get the information that the spirits are willing to give me. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's what lends to the fact that, you know, like you said, it's a little bit more down to earth of an investigation style. I treat the viewers like they're there with us. I mean, literally in my head, I'm like, oh my God, the viewers will love this. So I'll look at the camera. I'm like, oh my God, can you just believe that just happened? But we investigate like your hobbyist does. You know, I don't have a budget where I can stay at a location for a week and, you know, hope for maybe three pieces of evidence. That's not me. I do all the editing. I do all the sound. I book these locations. It was all me. So I honestly didn't have time on top of that to research the history as well. So I just put out the evidence and I'm like, here's what I got, guys. If you believe it, you do. If you don't, I get that too. But thanks for your time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's, you know, and all power to you, because you're not creating some kind of narrative, Kitsy. You've just basically, warts and all, here it is. Take it or leave it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like Culbertson Mansion, the one I keep going back to, which was season 1, episode 1. Mm. All over the internet, there were these stories about the mad scientist who lived in the carriage house and blah, 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 blah. Come to find out, there's a haunted attraction that they run in the carriage house every year. And like 5 years prior to us being there, even that was the story that year for the haunted attraction, but everybody ate it up and thought and started, you know, telling it like it was something that actually happened. So I mean, I started that investigation right off, so you know, you may have heard of this.
I mean, it is peculiar. I mean, one of the ones in the book that I was quite interested with as well is the Fear Factory, because that's quite a similar thing as well, because I believe it's now used as a haunted location, Kitsy, but it actually is an area that is supposed to be a well-established haunting and quite an angry one at that.
Yes, it is. And it's very well done, by the way. So if you can get out there near Halloween, definitely go.
Yeah, so the Fear Factory, as you know, it's one of those strange places, because essentially, is it just like an old cement works that's been abandoned and then converted, or is it somewhere that had this reputation that has gone on as long as it's been there?
I believe it was like a cement factory, and then it was abandoned for years and many. It's very close to where Salt Lake's homeless community is out there, so I believe several homeless people were living there. And it's actually known for the railroad tracks right out in front of it. Several people have taken their own lives out there. The week we were there, 2 weeks earlier, somebody had committed suicide on the railroad tracks right outside the location itself. So it's got a little bit of a twisted history to it. I'm sure it gets really cold in Salt Lake. So I'm sure some of those homeless people didn't make it when they were living in those abandoned buildings. So I'm sure it's not documented very well either. So Lord only knows what would be in there. But again, you know, our guys, the Ghost Adventure guys, Zach Baggins, love him to death. Love to hate him too. He's an entertainer. They went in claiming that someone had summoned a demon there accidentally.
Mm.
Which honestly makes the most sense out of all of them, because, I mean, if you're going to summon a demon, they might come. I don't know. And I'm not going to try, to be perfectly honest.
Yes.
But so we started off in another section of this amazing building, because you've got these old silos where they would store whatever it was back in the day. And then you've got these underground tunnels. There's so much to it, and it's all right next to a highway as well, like a super busy freeway, if you will. So the silo, we finally get in it, and we walk in, and you just, you know how some locations, you just feel a little wonky when you walk in. But this was a silo made all of metal right next to this highway. So we figured out it might have been the sound bouncing around within this specific silo that we were at that may have been causing that. So we went ahead and debunked that as nothing paranormal. And we got everything set up. We got some stick figure action on our SLS. So, and it was where there shouldn't, like sometimes, you know, the SLS will pick up on like a tree branch and they're just trying to make it look human. Mm. So it just puts something there. We're real careful when we get stick figure activity on an SLS tablet, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But this was just kind of out of the blue. And it just disappeared. So we kind of took that as, you know, they were checking us out. And again, we're a little worried because we know the history of this place. It's said to be, you know, infested with demons. And I talk to the people that run the haunted, the actual investigations there. They don't follow us along, but they're there to make sure we're not tearing up their property, and we interact with them in between different investigations at the one location. They're like, yeah, we've had some really crazy stuff go on, and I listen, but I don't take it to heart. And nothing's really happening. We started talking to a spirit named Linda. And I've always wondered with my odd box, because I get so much communication through it, through different, like I said, apps and the spirit box. Sometimes I wonder if it's a portal and maybe spirits are drawn to it from anywhere. So I asked at that location, because at the time there wasn't a whole lot going on. And I said, you know, I've always wondered if this odd box is a portal. Can anybody confirm that for me? And one of the spirits said yes. And then I said, well, tell me where you are. And I had like five different voices rattle off Omaha. One of them said London. One of them said Seattle. So and then all of a sudden, you know, the pizza man called. So Clayton and his boyfriend had to run out and grab the pizza. And so it's just Carter and I in there. And I said, okay, guys. So, you know, I really like some concrete evidence to show. And I always tell them, I'm filming this for a TV show so that we can tell your story to the world. And I said, I need some evidence. And the voice, kind of deep, not demonic sounding, but a very deep voice, goes, here it goes. And I'm like, here what goes? and like, right, boom, 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 it's devil, demon, devil, demon, devil, demon comes over, and I'm like, oh, okay. I said, I'm not buying it. I have not felt anything malevolent, evil, anything of the sort in this silo the entire evening. So, and I don't know, like you said earlier, if I shocked them and they're like, oh, she knows our secret. So they were willing to open up to me. But long story short, there's no demons in that silo. These spirits think they have to act like demons when people come in and investigate because they think that's what people want from them, which is so sad. So very sad. I was hoping they were doing it for a form of entertainment from the other side, but no, it's something they felt they had to do. And Clayton, my co-investigator, is like, you don't have to do that. I mean, this was a literal conversation with these spirits. And finally, Linda, the spirit I was telling you about, comes over again. And I get a little misty-eyed every time I tell this. She comes out in one fell swoop, same voice, over the spirit box into my odd box and said, we are just people. And it confirmed everything I've been trying to follow in my paranormal investigative career and treat these spirits like they are people. Mm-hmm. And in one sentence, for me, in this alleged demon-infested silo, everything came full circle for me right there.
Yeah.
So, and she in turn told us to please tell the people who run the location that they're not demons and that they don't want to play this game anymore.
Oh, that's quite sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. But I mean, people are people pleasers in life.
Mm-hmm.
Just like assholes in life. They're going to try to do what they think people want. Think about it. For whatever reason, they're in this brutally cold, that night specifically, silo in the middle of Salt Lake, Utah, surrounded by Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just happy somebody comes in and interacts with them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think about it that way, it kind of makes sense why they would give these people what they think they want.
Just, I suppose that opens up a whole different perspective on it that you could take from that then, Kitsy, that essentially they're just lonely.
Yeah.
And they do what they do to get the attention for people to come and see them, whether they use that as a way of getting energy or a way of, as you say, they are people. They would probably still require the interaction, the social conformities that would normally apply in life. Would they still apply to whichever, you know, wherever you can say that these spirits inhabit, be it limbo or an alternative dimension, or if it's just a form of energy that's bouncing around? Because that's one of the things I think people tend to forget, especially when they're doing ghost investigations. If you're dealing with spirits, they all, with the greatest respect, they all have to be based on real people.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, if you're an asshole in life, you're probably going to be an asshole in the afterlife. So
I mean,
that would also carry over that at the end of the day, if you're dealing with haunted locations, you are dealing with real people. And I think often when people go to this excitable version of a haunting, I think they completely overlook the fact that sometimes you're talking about real people with real personalities, right, and people will remember that person.
It's a lot to think about, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is, because I think too often it's done for shock value. And I think, not that I'm saying we need to be more sort of understanding in regards to how we deal with these things. I'm not saying we should stop it. But I think it often gets overlooked that if we do believe in the concept of an afterlife, Kitsy, then surely these people's personalities remain intact. So if somebody comes around to your house and you're just haunting it, let's say, and you hear someone say, oh, God, yeah, these violent, evil, horrible spirits in there, you're like, hang on a minute, is he talking about me?
Exactly. You walk into this haunted location, it's their house.
Yes.
You know, I mean, and you walk in screaming, you need to talk to me. But I'd be like, I'd scream in their ear, get out.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? I would try to push them down the stairs if they're walking into my house telling me what I need to do. Come on, people. Yeah. it's a whole new line of thought. And that was my reason behind this book. You know, it gets lost in these amazing stories and the awesome evidence that I've got. But that was why I wrote this book, to hopefully, and it worked for you, so yay, but show people that these are just people. And I know right now the world is a terrifying place, and a lot of people are assholes in life. But I think we all just need to think. We need to take a step back in our day-to-day lives, in our paranormal investigating, and just think a little bit before we speak. Be a little bit more, you know, we talk about an empath like it's a superpower, but empathy is real. And we need, as the human race, just to embrace a little extra empathy right now. I did not mean to jump up on the soapbox. It just happened.
It's always nice to be nice.
Exactly. Exactly. And Grandpa used to say, you can catch more flies with sugar than you can vinegar.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's a lot easier as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think in regards to this as well, Kitsy, why do you think that Abby and Anna have been attracted to you and stuck with you? What do you think it is that makes them feel so welcome in your company?
I have been talking about them a lot lately because, I mean, the book is pretty much a lot about these two. And I get asked a lot, that question a lot. And at first I was like, I don't know. Maybe when you tell these spirits, they can't follow you home. I mean, why do they have to listen? Again, just like in real life, if you tell somebody, don't stalk me, they can still stalk you. But with these two specific spirits, I believe I've had others come and go. I do show these spirits empathy, which is huge, and I think they're not used to it. But these two specific women, I bonded with hard the night I investigated the locations they were at. And these two spirits specifically, I promised to protect them from something they were scared of while we were investigating. I don't know if in the spirit life that's code word, hey, you're stuck with me forever now, or if it was just the connection, because I did want to protect them. And maybe now they're protecting me from the assholes in the spirit realm. I don't know. I believe they're with me for a reason. I believe, I'm going to give you a part of my secret of how I get some really great evidence, but I think it's Anna. I really do. I think she's with me always, and I think she tells the spirits, you know what, she's okay. It's okay. You can talk to her. Now, whether it's true or not, I have zero proof, but I get some really great evidence, and I do. I think I call them my spirit guides at this point. They haven't always been, but they are now.
Have you found, because obviously this is your first book, Kitsy, have you found it a cathartic process in regards to doing this? Because obviously I know it was it Dave Schrader who kind of said, have you thought about writing a book?
It was. God, I love Dave. He's amazing.
Yeah, such a gentleman.
Well, not always, but yes, I love him.
I'll let you say that. You obviously know him better than I do. But he seems a lovely, lovely man, in my opinion.
Yes, absolutely.
So is it something that has whetted your appetite in regards to doing more in the way of writing, Kitsy? Because obviously you're a multifaceted person. You know, you've done acting, you've production, you've worked in the entertainment industry in a variety of roles. You are the co-host of three fabulous podcasts, all very different. You've created your own TV show, and now you're a published author. So is what's next for Kitsy Duncan?
Oh, Lord. So this book sadly ended up being kind of the goodbye to the Oddity Files crew, as it was. I didn't realize it when I was writing it. But the crew has kind of split up. no drama to it whatsoever. Clayton and Carter are young men. I'm an old lady. They went on with their life. I'm still stuck here, obsessed with the paranormal. But it was a nice little farewell to the Oddity Files crew as it was. But it also was, it's been so amazing just reiterating some thoughts that I've had going, you know, through this little journey and then putting it on paper, you know, again, that they are just people. It was neat to, all these thoughts I've had in my head that I haven't really told people about other than maybe on my podcast, but certainly not on the TV show, get these thoughts to paper and have them make sense while they're written. It's been absolutely amazing, but it's also shown me, and I am not a people person, Paul. I really am not. I generally hate people and find them very disappointing and would actually rather talk to dead people. But I think that I'm at the point in my life to where I want to help some of these people that are scared of the paranormal, like I was for like my entire life, and show them maybe they live in a haunted house and they can't afford to move and they just need to live with what's there. I'm not going to cleanse their house for them. My biggest fear is I'm going to take some lady who's working a brothel in the afterlife and send her to a kindergarten class. That just wouldn't end well for anybody, but at least to let them live in harmony and be the go-between and the, you know, the ambassador for both sides. If you, that sounds so corny now that it's coming out of my mouth, but I want to be the Oprah of the paranormal, Paul. You get a K2 meter and you get a K2 meter, you know.
Yes.
I just want to help people now. That's where I'm at. I've done all the, you know, like Waverly was the bucket list and yes. Bobby Mackey's was the bucket list. I'm never going to get in the White House. That is my number one bucket list. So maybe it's time to get down to the nitty gritty of helping people. Maybe it'll make me hate people less. I don't know. It could go either way, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. Is that something that perhaps you've been afraid to sort of approach, Kitsy, because you don't think you've got the skills to be able to assist people? Because the general conception is, oh, well, if you go to somebody's house, you're cleansing it, you're smudging it, whatever you need to do. Whereas I think sometimes it's easier to just educate people about what's going on rather than banish whatever it is, because with the greatest respect, as you say, I think a lot of people are constantly told to fear the paranormal, whereas I think if more people welcomed it, it just makes everything more harmonious.
I could not, you've said it so well, so much better than I ever could have. But yeah, and I believe if the spirits are causing a ruckus in somebody's house, that they want to communicate. They want these people to hear them. So I fortunately have the equipment to where we can hear them and we can relay messages back and forth. And in turn, they hear me. So I kind of want to embrace that. I'm not a psychic medium. I can't talk to the dead in my head, but I can help people along this path and spirits too, and hopefully help them communicate with each other. And I think it could be a really beautiful thing. This past weekend, this is an exclusive, sir. I was able to investigate a friend's house who had lost her son earlier in the year, right after all the pandemic stuff went down. But he was never able to speak in real life. He had multiple sclerosis and just died as a baby, and they brought him back. So he had a very troubled life. He was a wonderful light in the world, and everybody misses him regardless. I gave him a voice this week, and he spoke to his mother for the first time. And it was beautiful. So yeah, I think that's what I want to do now. Long story short.
Yeah, well, all power to you. I think anything that can achieve a positive outcome for everybody involved, and like I say, I think when you're dealing with situations like that, because a lot of, I know this has been broached on a couple of previous conversations you've had that I've seen you involved in, Kitsy. It's very interesting because obviously right now we're in the middle of a pandemic across the world, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people have sadly lost their lives. And I've seen few people sort of refer to the spiritualist boom that occurred, obviously, after the end of the First World War. And I think some people are trying to wrap the Spanish flu pandemic into all that. Obviously, spiritualism was a massive explosion over here, primarily because it was promoted by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who was obviously the author of Sherlock Holmes,
yeah,
and as the major proponent. And we have all kinds of interesting situations between him and Houdini throughout the 1920s from, yeah, both sides of the argument, until Houdini's premature demise, sadly. So do you think that as we enter these phases, there is going to be this wave of guilt that's driving us in regards to trying to connect people, and obviously people will, I would sadly presume, will try and take advantage of that, do you think?
I would think so. Is it such a, well, not the people taking advantage. Yeah. I would hope that this would open more people up to the paranormal, because that spiritual movement, wish I'd have been a part of that. That looked pretty freaking awesome. Mm. I don't know if people can take advantage like they did so badly back then, just because we have so much information at our fingertips now. Mm. And I think people can do the right research themselves and find out about things. Do I believe in spirit mediums? Yes, 1,000,000%. Do I believe everybody who claims to be a spirit medium is? Absolutely not. Mm. So if people are thinking of going that route, I understand. This is what drove me, was losing a family member out of the blue. So I understand why they're feeling that way. But do your homework. And I'm not going to say, you know, get a Ouija board out, and because, you know, I personally don't feel this way, but I know the stigma is pretty bad out there. So if it is against your beliefs, don't do it just to do it, because you're going to end up scaring yourself more than anything else.
Yeah.
But do research like I did. Find out about the paranormal. Maybe do an investigation on your own. I mean, it's perfect time to pick up a new hobby, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think it's quite apt as well, because I know a lot of people have been very interested in the latest season of Unsolved Mysteries, Kitsy, primarily because of the Japanese ghosts episode.
Such a great story.
I mean, I was that impressed with it. I mentioned it, and a friend of mine said, "Oh, have you read The Ghosts of the Tsunami?" which is a book that was written by a British journalist called Richard Lloyd Parry. And to my shame, I hadn't read it at all, and I managed to pick up a wonderful copy for about £3. So if you ever fancy a heart-rendingly tragic yet beautiful book to read, I recommend Ghosts of the Tsunami. It's a wonderful book, but it is incredibly moving.
Wow.
And he talks, it's not primarily about the ghost per se. There is a bit about where he talks to the monks, especially the monk that's featured in that particular episode. But there's a lot of cultural things, and it gives you that kind of feeling of why that area was so ripe for the belief in what had happened, and the fact that these people were coming back. It is deeply moving, surprisingly so.
Well, it lies a lot with their religious beliefs they have there, and how they were supposed to bury the dead and things like that. It's a tragic story, but it has so much more to it as well. And those stories from the cabbies, I can't even.
Yeah. I must admit, I first saw a couple of those about 2 years after it had happened, Kitsy. And I must admit, they made my blood chill. But the cabbies seemed quite au fait with it, really. They were quite pleasant, and I thought that was really nice that the cabbies were paying the fares, you know.
I know.
Just so sweet, more than anything.
Yes. Yeah, and it's not that I'm like, oh, it's terrifying. It's heart-wrenching that these spirits had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
Just breaks my heart.
Yeah, unfinished business.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Kitsy, it's been an absolute pleasure to finally talk to you.
See.
Now, before I let you go, you have two other podcasts that you co-host. You've got the Marvelous Get Scared podcast, which I believe is essentially original works that you narrate on a regular basis. So how did that come about? That seems a really interesting, and some of them are deeply chilling.
Yeah, so I know a lot of people within the horror community through the day job, which is I do photo ops at horror and pop culture events. And so I'd met a lot of indie authors through that that wrote short stories. And I had a little extra time and I had just learned how to edit a podcast. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to reach out to a couple of these people and see if they'd be interested. You know, I figured I'd make it sponsored by Oddity Files, the TV show, and it'd be something fun to do. And it turned out to be a huge hit. So it's pretty much audiobooks for these short horror slash thriller slash suspense stories that are all written by independent authors that are ridiculously talented. So it's just a way for them to get a little extra exposure, for the listener to be entertained. And at the time, I had, like I said, a little extra time on my hands, and it was, you know, something to keep me from getting into trouble with something I probably shouldn't have been messing around with.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Yes. Excellent. And then you've also got the Miss Murder podcast. Now, I believe that you co-host that with Heather Rage.
Yes.
And you focus on murderous women.
Yeah, so both my friend Heather and I are true crime fanatics. Mm-hmm. I introduced her to My Favorite Murder, which was introduced to me by Clayton, and that's how Oddity Files, the podcast, came about. I'm like, these girls aren't perfect. I'm not we can do this, Clayton. And here I am three podcasts later. But that was my... I was completely obsessed with My Favorite Murder. I've become a little lax because I have a lot going on right now, but we tell stories about only women who kill. And the men seem to find this more terrifying than any other podcast out there, because women do a lot of killing. I thought we might run out of fodder, and we have not. And honestly, one of my, I don't want to say favorite killers, but one of my stories that always gets me every time are Fred and Rosemary West from Out Your Way.
Yes.
Wow, story.
Yes, that is, it is very odd, that, because obviously, you know, you live through these things, Kitsy, and it was, yeah, it was an incredible story. I mean, it seems incredible to think it was 25 years ago. Now.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. I bet. I only heard of it a couple of years ago. And I'm not going to lie, I was disappointed when I found out they tore down the building, because I really would have loved to investigate that. Not going to lie.
Yeah. Yeah. It was unusual, because I think primarily because, luckily, it is odd because there's been a couple of other serial killers in the UK who have killed more people at a location and the locations haven't been removed. But I think theirs was just because it was involving kids and young children and their own family. I think they just wanted to wipe it off the face of the earth.
It was a brothel and just a thorn in their side, I'm sure. Yes. Plus, I mean, they were all buried right there as well. So, I mean, it made sense.
Yeah, yeah. In the garden and under the patio and in the cellar, it was such a mess. And it's one of those things where, you know, it's still remarkable that Rose is still refuting, has never ever spoken about any of it at all.
It's because she did it. I don't trust her. I think it was more her than Fred. I'm not going to lie. Look at her face. Are you kidding me? She's evil incarnate. She would be mistaken as a demon if somebody was investigating her.
Yeah, well, she keeps making appeals for release. So I think, sadly, it's a story that won't go away.
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah. Anyway, let's put Rose to one side where she belongs, out of the way.
Yeah.
So, Kitsy, where can everybody keep up to date with your work and get a copy of your fabulous book?
So the book is for sale on both Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Just search for I'd Rather Talk to Dead People. Yes, that's literally the name of my book. Or you can go to flow.page/Kitsy Duncan, and it's KitsieDuncan. And everything, like the podcasts, the book, the merch, all the stuff is on that. And all my socials are on there as well.
Fabulous. Well, I'll put links in all the show notes for the episode as well, so everybody can track them down. And I wish you the best of luck with the book. As I say, it was a refreshing, honest, and highly amusing at times interpretation of the world of the paranormal and your experiences in it, Kitsy. And I'm very glad I've read it. And I wish you continued success.
Oh, thank you so much. That's exactly what I was going for. If you didn't laugh once, you're reading it wrong.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. You too.